today. I want you to come and I want you to take your liberty. Oh, let's give him high praise. Let's magnify God as he comes.
Oh, come on, lift your voice to heaven right now and love Jesus. Come on, love Jesus, love Jesus, love him, love him. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you don't know what's going on here today and you want to get in on it, last week we began to pray in the Holy Ghost. You just had to be here Sunday night. Let me say that first. And we prayed in the Holy Ghost, and I felt like God spoke to me and told me to tell the church people to write down things that they want to see come to pass. That somebody's got that in bill paper. You know their bill's going to get paid off. That's what I'm talking about. That bill envelope. You see them windows. You already know what it is. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm going to make sure God works at my house. Hey. Can you take me back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9? I told you, those of you that were here on Thursday or Friday afternoon, we were going to just continue this. I promise you today, now I'm going to be brief. How many are just tired from conference? We'll just lift it. Be honest, I'm wore out. I've been seeing folks yawn all over the place, wiping sleep out your eyes. Yeah, one 8-hour night of sleep doesn't make up for three nights of 1 hour. Now, I know we're taking our time right now, but if you need to get in on this, if you haven't yet filled out an envelope, where are you at, Brother Antoine? Brother Antoine right here. Would you lift your hands? If you're a visitor and you want to be a part of this, look, there, we got one here, one there. And we're taking our time today, but I promise I'm not going to preach, but maybe 15 minutes, maybe. Okay, 20, maybe 20. Anybody else? Lift a hand. In the balcony, look, we got people in the balcony. Some of them young guys up there. Run, 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 run. So you're making a big deal out of this. Yeah, because God made a big deal out of it. I figured out a long time ago that if we make a big deal out of the stuff that God makes a big deal out of, we can open up the window to the prophetic. Yes, yes, yes. But I want you to fill out, and this is the word from the Lord. Don't fill out stuff that you want to happen at your house. Fill out stuff that you want to happen at God's house. And when you fill that out, we're going to pray the prayer of faith. God's going to work at your house because you've been unselfish. Bring unselfish prophecies to the house of the Lord. Say, well, that's charismatic. You can call it what you want to. God told me to do it. So talk about him. But anyway, so I'm going to give you a few minutes to work on that. We're going to go Revelation 1:9. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you want to call this part two, what you want to call it, but we'll just go back to the original title, Postcards from Patmos, and we will continue in the spirit of what we were in on Friday afternoon. Would you lift your hands right now and ask the Lord to help us one more time? God, we love you. We praise you. God, we give you glory today. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Come on, somebody help me pray right now. God, there's nobody like you, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Man, you may be seated in the fear of the Lord. As you finish those, you just bring them to the Lord. You don't have to be in embarrassed or anything. Y'all don't go anywhere. Y'all stay close. Again, I'm not going to be very long today. Bishop, give you honor today, my friend Brother Collins. And I want to get right into what the Holy Ghost is wanting to do. When we stop yesterday, well, let me just kind of back up and give you a quick recap. John's on an island all by himself. He's a man that knows how to live for his brother, work with his brother, walks in love for his brother. And now this man is exiled in a place called Patmos, and he has to learn how to get in the spirit from the place of exile. It's not fun, amen? It's not easy, somebody say amen? When you're exiled to get into the spirit of God. But one of the main things that I want to stress today is that there is a bridge that is built when you learn how to praise God from places that are isolated. There is a bridge that is built to the supernatural when you come to God from Patmos and praise Him. And we're going to get into some of this here in just a moment. But I said it on Friday afternoon, and again, this is just a quick recap. The prophetic will not come to anybody that cannot praise God from Patmos. You can't expect a word from God if you can't praise God from where you are. You can't expect a word from God to come deliver you until you get that. You got to get the word of God in you by getting the spirit of God in you. Well, how do you do that? You learn how to praise God when nothing feels right, nothing feels good, and you're all by yourself and nobody will talk to you, and you come to church. I want to address this right now because there's so much here, and I probably won't get done with it all today, and I might have to preach part three. I don't know, but there is an element to this to where some of us may feel this right now, where you come to church and the preacher preaches, and it feels like it falls on everybody else's ears but yours. You ever felt like that? Like God had a word for everybody but me. God spoke to everybody but me. That is a part of that Patmos experience where you walk with God and you come to church and you're faithful even when you can't feel God and hear from God. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want a relationship with anybody that I had to just buy them something every 5 minutes just to make them love me. Well, all they want is my money. I could say, well, I'm going to say it. Some of us, the problem with us is we're Holy Ghost gold diggers. Amen or oh me. And so we've learned how to live on a mentality that says, I'll take peace, I'll take joy, I'll take all of this, and you keep the burden. But I'll tell you this, the wisest man that ever wrote said, it rains on the just and the unjust. Just because you're apostolic does not mean that you're never going to have another bad day. Just because you're apostolic doesn't mean that you're never going to have a broken heart. But living for God, the great thing about living for God is we know we have a Savior that really does care about where we are and what we're going through. We have a Savior that really cares about the fact that we may be on Patmos and we may feel all by ourselves. But I'm going to tell you something, honey. If you can press through that and get in the Spirit, you will recognize that even exiled on Patmos, that God is right there with you. Hallelujah. I'm okay, so that's our recap. Give me a microphone. Let me see here. I got T5. Y'all mixed up the labels back there. Help me, Brother Collins. 2 Kings chapter 3. This is going to be different today. It's all right. We're going to walk in the Holy Ghost. By now, we're screaming in the organs normally as loud as it'll go, but come back next Sunday, we'll do that. Right now, this is home, folks, tonight, and so or today. And so if you're a visitor, you know what that means? We consider you part of the home, folks. So just this is a family thing happening right now. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 3, and let's start in verse 6.
And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel.
First of all, let's talk about who King Jehoram is. He's the son of Ahab. Anybody know who Ahab is? He's the worst king that Israel's ever had, period.
He is the one that set up the false gods and the idols and all of this stuff that would cause Israel to backslide time and time and time again. Him and his wife caused more detriment to Israel than I would say any other king, all of the other kings combined. So this is who we're talking about. We're talking about the son of an evil man. He does not deserve. Let's just be honest. If I was God, boy, y'all better be glad I'm not God. I better be glad I'm not God. Because I'd have got zapped a long time ago. Oh, yeah? Now what? So read for us.
And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me.
King of Moab has rebelled. He's coming together with Judah. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, Israel and Judah have split. Judah is two nations. If you don't know the biblical history here, Judah is two nations of the tribes of Israel, and then Israel is the remaining ten. And so we have Judah, this small little piece of Israel that God has kept for himself. Jehoshaphat is the king, and now the Moabites have rebelled against the king of Israel, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, the wicked king. Now read.
Will thou go with me against Moab to battle?
Will you go with me?
And he said, I will go up.
I will go up.
I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses.
Yeah, now watch what happens. Understand here, Jehoram's a young king. Jehoram doesn't have it all together, but he understands that Jehoshaphat's been doing this for a little bit. And so he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to Jehoshaphat, and I'm going to see what Jehoshaphat thinks we need to do. In a sense, I'm going to counsel with Jehoshaphat. I'm going to ask Jehoshaphat to come with me. And if he will, we're going to do what Jehoshaphat says do. So he joins with Jehoshaphat. Now let's read the next verse, verse 9.
And he said, which way shall we go up?
So Jehoram asked him. He said, now because we've joined together, you're the king that has more experience fighting. He said, how shall we go up? And this is what Jehoshaphat answered. What did he answer, Pastor Collins?
The way through the wilderness of Edom.
He said, let's go up by the way through the wilderness of Edom. All right, let's read through this next verse.
So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom.
And the king of Edom. Now, I want you to hold on to that for a minute, because that's going to be important. This is going to be teachy this morning, but I promise you, we're going to walk into the prophetic here in just a moment. So can you stay with me for just a few minutes? I know you're tired. I know you're tired, but we're going somewhere. So if you cannot fall asleep for 15 minutes, I'll be done. Go.
And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host.
No water. Now understand, we're going to preach, talk, teach, whatever, types and shadows here. We've got Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah. Anybody know what Judah stands for? We got the king of Edom. Anybody know who the Edomites are? The Edomites are the descendants of Esau. What is Esau a type of? Flesh, worldliness, the flesh, the carnal things. And then now we have something, we have a dilemma. They are in a wilderness, most probably the same wilderness that their forefathers wandered in for 40 years. They're in the same place, in the same predicament. Because you remember when they crossed Jordan, they said, we don't have any water. Now, what is water a type of? If you've been in revival with Brother Phillips any yet, no. You'll know that revival is a type and a shadow, or water is a type and a shadow of the Spirit of God. Why? Because the water always is moving. Water is all, and here's the cool thing about water. You can channel water. And so that's what we do when we come. That's the point of the minstrel, is that's the point of you as a praiser and a worshiper, is to channel the Spirit of God into this place. But let me tell you something else about water. If you take water and you channel it to where it runs into a tree, that strong tree that looks unmovable, let the water run on it long enough and that tree will begin to weaken and it'll begin to erode. So I said that to say that you can help push the Spirit of God in the right direction, but try to stand in the way of the Spirit of God and see what happens. You begin to erode, and the things that you thought you had, and you were strong and you were in control and you were planted firm, but when the water runs on it long enough, it begins to fail. Let me get out of this before I preach right there. Go.
And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.
Why did God do this? He brought us here into the wilderness. I thought I was walking with the will of God because I had a praiser with me. But go ahead and read.
But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord?
So it's intriguing to me. Understand, now the whole theme of this conference this week has been simply, bring me a minstrel. And the point of it was to see the door to the prophetic from praise and worship. Am I correct, Bishop? Am I correct, Pastor? And so we're getting there now. We're seeing why it's important. First of all, I want you to recognize where they are. They're in the wilderness, quote unquote. They're in Patmos. They're in a place of exile. They're in a place of detriment. They're in a place that they're thirsty. They're in a place where they're hungry. They have no provisions here. And so now they're asking the Lord, has God brought us together to deliver us? This is what the carnal king says. This is what the son of Ahab says. And then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the king of praise, says, what we need is not to sit down and have a pity party. Ooh, help, Lord. We don't need to sit around and gripe and complain about what we don't have. And you see this in your own life right here. He says, has God done this? And Jehoshaphat says, boy, you need to shut your mouth. Because one of the first things we do when we get to Patmos, when we get to places that we don't want to be, is we start playing a blame game with God. Now, God, why have you brought me here to die? They said it in Exodus. They said, would to God we'd have died in Egypt. Moses, why did you bring us out here? Is God playing some kind of cruel game? You see, the enemy will always try to get you to blame God for Patmos, because you have to understand that the portal to the prophetic opens from Patmos. If John would have sat down and cried about what he was going through rather than getting in the spirit, he would have never had the revelation that he had. Said, well, how do you know that? Because you can't see through the eyes of the spirit while you're looking through the eyes of your flesh. You will never enter into the prophetic. You will never enter into the next dimension as long as you're trying to do it through the carnality of your flesh. Now, I'm gonna say something right now that's going to sound like an oxymoron, but at the same time, it'll make sense here in a few moments. So how do I get there if I can't get there through my flesh? Understand what's happening here. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, understands that they need a prophet. And he says the only way that we're going to get the prophetic, understand, Jehoram asked him. He could have went any way he wanted to go, Brother Collins, but he said, I got to go through Edom. Because he's bringing that alliance of Edom, the flesh, the carnality. And the purpose of that, you go and study, is the Edomite king was under subjection to Judah. How do you get to the prophetic? You get your carnal flesh under subjection, and you praise your way out of what you're in. You want the portal to open? I wish Bishop Holmes was here. He'd say something like, you got to grab yourself by the nape of the neck and you got to take yourself to the house of God. And when you don't feel like praising, you tell the king of Edom, hey, son, you're going to come with me and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And I'm going to put you under my feet and I'm going to put you under subjection. We're going to go to the house of God. And although I don't feel like praising and although I don't want to, I'm going to praise God anyway. So they need water, they need substance, they need somebody to prophesy. And he's already telling them, we don't need to cry about it. I'm trying to hurry, I promise, but it amazes me the amount of people that get in the wilderness, and we preach it all the time. How many times have you heard that you can praise your way out of anything? If you've ever heard that, lift your hand right now. If you've ever heard that you can praise your way out of anything, now lift your other hand. I want you to be double sure. You've heard it. And it amazes me the amount of people that'll come to church and want a 3-hour counseling session when they ain't shouted about it the first time. Oh, Pastor, I need to talk to you. No, you don't. You need to do what he told you to do from the pulpit. Oh. All hell's breaking loose in my life. What do? You do what we preach every Sunday night. You come to church and you put your flesh under subjection and you praise God in spite of what you're going through. And then the doors will be open. And then the heavens will open up.
So let's read through this, because if I'm not careful, I'll preach an hour. Go ahead. What are you laughing at?
And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah."
Understand what they need. They need water. Now, get this. Elisha was the servant of Elijah. Now, Elijah spends a lot of time. You go look geographically. Elijah spends a lot of time in this same vicinity that Elisha is in the same wilderness that the children of Israel are in right now, where Jehoram and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom are in. And so understand what's happening here. He said, "This is the man that poured water on the hands of Elijah." If you go back and read through Numbers and Leviticus, you'll find that it was against the law to eat with unwashed hands. And so before a prophet could ever eat, he had to go and find water, and you couldn't do it. It wasn't like a wash pot. You couldn't just go stick your hands in the sink and rub them in and out. It had to be like running water. Someone had to pour running water over your hands. And it was against the law to eat without this. So understand where they're at. They're in the wilderness, the same wilderness that Elijah spent a lot of time in. And so this is a twofold meaning here, because they said, not only do we need a word from God, but we need water. And Elisha is the guy that when Elijah needed water would go and run and find all the little water holes and bring water back to the man of God. Boy, I could preach on giving right there for a few minutes, but I'm not going to. I'm going to constrain myself. He said, "We need water. And here is Elisha. He knows where the water's at." You want to know one of the most beneficial things you can ever do when you come to church and you can't feel God? Find the wildest person in church and go get them by the hand and shout with them. When you don't know where the water's at, find somebody that does know where the water's at. When you can't get in the Spirit of God, find somebody that can and grab them by the hand. And honey, don't let them go until you're talking in tongues, until you're dancing, until you're shouting, until you're in the same spirit. That's why praising Him in the congregation is so powerful, because you might not have the strength to praise God, but if I can borrow my brother's strength and I can, come here, Brother Tyler, come on, hurry, but when I can link up with my brother, I might be fighting hell and I can't shout, but I can live off his shout for just a minute. I might be fighting hell and not be able to find the water, but I can live off his water until I get in the spirit for myself and find the water for myself. You see, that's why it's so important that you can't be worried about what everybody else said or thought or any of that, because you don't know when you're going to have to live off their anointing. Help me, Jesus. That's why you can't be worried about he said, she said, they said, because you don't ever know when you're going to be in the same trial and the same test and the same tribulation, and you're going to have to link up with that brother that you thought you didn't like and say, "Let's praise our way out of this." That's why division and racism has no business in the house of God.
I said I was teaching, but I feel my preach coming on right now. We don't have any. We don't need that junk in the house of God. It will inflow. It will stop up the flow of the Spirit of God. Let's read.
And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him."
The word of the Lord is with him. Go.
So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him.
Uh-huh.
And Elisha said unto the king of Israel,
now watch this.
What have I to do with thee?
Why are you here, dude?
Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother.
He said, you've been listening to all them false prophets of Ahab, the false prophets of Baal and Dagon and all this junk that your mom and daddy set up. Why do you even want to listen? Hey, don't even look at me. I'm mad. And so, go ahead. Read.
And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee,
I wouldn't
nor
even look
see
at
thee.
You. He said, I'm not even coming out of the house, but because you brought praise with you. You understand what praise does? When you failed God, and I'm not telling you that you can just come to church and shout and make everything right. You got to repent. You got to turn away from your idols. You got to do all of that stuff. But when you're in a position to where God wouldn't even listen to your prayer, and God wouldn't even hear you, and God doesn't even want to look at all the filthiness that you've brought to the house of God, but you say, God, I repent. I understand God always wants to hear you when you pray. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. But God's not interested in dirty stuff. We believe come as you are. We don't believe stay as you are. You can come to God dirty, and the devil would try everything he can to convince you that God can't hear you from that place that you are. But when you begin to lift up your hands, the prophet said, I wouldn't even look at you. I wouldn't talk to you. But you dirty dog, you. But because you brought Jehoshaphat with you, I can't help but come out and prophesy. Do you understand what's happening when you come to church and you praise God through everything that you've been through? It makes God come down and say, but because I regard Jehoshaphat, because I regard the king of Judah, because I regard your worship, your praise, I can't help but come down and prophesy what thus saith the Lord. My God. I don't even want to look at you, Jehoram. But because you brought Jehoshaphat with you. Go ahead. Read. Let's move on.
But now. Bring me a minstrel.
Bring me a minstrel. And this is where we cross over. This is actually the only place in the Bible where it uses the word minstrel. Understand in the Hebrew, it uses it a couple times, but it uses it with different punctuation. This is the only time it's used in this fashion. He says, bring me a minstrel. And then when the minstrel played, what happened?
That the hand of the Lord came upon him.
The hand of the Lord came upon him. You see, this is what happens. This is why bring me a minstrel is so powerful. When you get to that place, you have to praise him by yourself. And you do that by yourself. We praise him in the congregation and we do all of that stuff. But if you want the prophetic to open, you have to praise God by yourself. But when the minstrel comes in, that's what takes you from praise to worship. You say, well, I don't believe that there's a big difference. Well, let me tell you something. Praise is only mentioned one time in the book of Revelation, one of the greatest books of prophecy there ever was. You know how many times worship is mentioned? 15 times. Because worship in its nature is prophetic. Because that's where you come out of your... Elijah's mad. He don't even want to look at nobody. He said, I don't even want to be here. But because the minstrel began to play, he found a conduit to cross over from that place of praise into worship. And when he did that... The flesh, I praised him while I couldn't feel him, and I praised him when I couldn't hear him, but then I got in the spirit. And when you get in the spirit, no longer are you praising, now you're worshiping, because they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. So now you're coming out of the place that you were in, and you're stepping into the heavenly realm, and the door to the prophetic is being opened so that you can see those things that are not as though they are. That's
why it's so powerful when you come to church and the word and you praise God during the praise set, and then all of a sudden something wells up in you, and it's not coming from here anymore, but it's coming from here. You know what happened? You got in the spirit. You crossed the line from praise to worship, and when you cross the line from praise to worship, you cross the line from praise to prophetic. And then, have you ever been praying
And it's almost as if in your own prayer time, you always, you know, you get into the spirit by praising and worshiping God and all of that stuff, and you get to the place to where it's just all worship coming out of you, and you start saying things in English that you didn't even, it bypassed your mind. Anybody ever been there before? You know what that was? You crossed into a prophetic place through worship. You crossed into a place. Yeah, keep on bringing them. That's just more souls going to be saved. You crossed over. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to cross over. You crossed over to that place. Now, I'm not going to take the time. My 20 minutes is running out. I got about 3 left, I think. So we're not going to take the time to read the whole rest of the text. But when he crosses into this place of worship, and he gets to the prophetic, he says, you go back and you dig this valley full of ditches. And you're not going to see the rain, and you're not going to see the wind, but there's going to be water come. Now, the Bible tells us that they had came through the wilderness of Edom, but the next morning, the Bible tells us that, behold, water came from Edom. They had already been there and knew there was no water there. But when you start operating in the prophetic, it starts bringing things from places that you knew it couldn't come from. They've already walked this road, and they didn't see any water there. Had they seen water, they'd have put it in their canteens, and they wouldn't be thirsty right now. But the next day, water came from Edom, the very place that they had came from, and knew it was impossible for water to come from there. When you step into worship and the prophetic, God starts doing things that you knew were impossible. That's what the prophetic does. It opens up, and we see it, and God, I don't have time to preach all of this or teach all this or whatever it is, but we see it. It's one of the most powerful things. We see it at the transfer of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha. When he walks by him, he throws his mantle on him, and he keeps on walking, and you will find what Elisha does. Elisha goes back, and what does he do? He makes a sacrifice unto the Lord. Well, how does he do it? He burns the plow, and he sacrifices the oxen. Understand that oxen are a type of priesthood. But the plow is a type of prophecy, because the plow will go underneath the ground and break up things that cannot be seen. And so God, when he came together and Elisha started doing all this, he was letting God know that by the sacrifice, I'm willing to walk in the spirit and walk in the priesthood at the same time. And I don't have time to preach about the best of both worlds and Elijah and Elisha and all of that. My God, I wish I had time to preach today. Well, we're going to have a part 3 of this, so just we'll come back to it. How about that? But the prophetic is open, and the prophecy comes that you will completely and utterly destroy Moabite. You're gonna kill them. You're gonna fell every good tree. You're gonna stuff every good well, every piece of ground. You're gonna fill it with stones. He said, everything that the enemy has that's good to him, you're gonna destroy it. And you find that same thing. We find it in Revelation, where at the end of time, when it's all over, said, and done with, and Gog and Magog come down, and fire from heaven falls. He said, you're gonna destroy everything. It's all gonna be over. It's the same concept, Elisha. It's the same concept in Ezekiel. It's the same concept in John. You praise until you cross over into worship. And when you cross over into worship, you prophesy the things that are not as though they are. That's why services like we had last Sunday night are so powerful, because some of you made the switch. And here's the frustrating part about it. If you leave on Sunday night and come back on Monday night, you got to go through the same process. You still have to praise your way through your work day. You have to praise your way through all of that junk to get back to that place on Monday where, okay, this is where I was. And it'll be a little bit easier on Monday than it was Sunday, but you still got to get there. And if you come back Tuesday, you got to do the same thing. You got it, but it'll be a little bit easier because you're weakening the walls that are trying to hold you back to keep you from crossing over into the prophetic. The devil doesn't like it when we prophesy. And that's why I'm fixing to say something and it's going to go out, and I don't really care who likes it and who don't. But that's why there's a lot of church folks that don't like it.
is because the devil has convinced us that that's charismatic. Honey, they got it from us. You say, well, you're just into all that name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. No, honey, I'm into speaking things that are not as though they are. I'm into walking in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit and you walk in the prophetic, you can speak those things and you can walk by people that need healing and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's why we walk in the Spirit and we walk not after the flesh. It's because somebody else can benefit from walking in the Spirit. I don't want to be a part of a church that's afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. I'll tell you today, you're in a church that's not afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in prophecy. And we believe in all of that stuff. And the reason why,
stand with me. Musicians, start playing. I'll preach all day. I ain't kidding. Don't tempt me.
But that's why there's some people that don't want to fellowship. It's because they can't control. You will never be able to control the gifts of the Spirit. It was not designed for you to control them. It was designed through the Holy Ghost for it to control you. That's why it's an integral part of the church body, is God speaks through the gifts of the Spirit and gives us direction and guides the Spirit of God in our churches. It guides the Spirit, the flow of the Spirit in our churches. Just like just a few moments ago, we were singing God of the Breakthrough. I was standing right there, and I felt a shift in my spirit. I know you did too. I looked around when Brother Dawson said what he said, and it resonated with some of y'all. You know what was happening? He was operating in the gifts of the Spirit and saying, no, this is the way we need to go. They're an integral part of what we do. As a matter of fact, we're not apostolic without them. We're not apostolic at all without them. We've got to have the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of prophecy, gifts of knowledge and understanding, the gifts of tongues and interpretation. We've got to walk in that. We can't be afraid of it because somebody else messed it up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for a church that believes. What we're going to do here today, again, I told y'all this is going to be really teachy, and then we're going to operate in the prophetic, and I believe that that's going to happen right now. We're going to have an altar call, and the way we're going to have an altar call today is I want everyone that absolutely can to cram as close as you can. If you're scared of COVID, that's fine. Stay where you are. Put a double mask on. It doesn't matter. We're not going to judge anybody. And so if you're uncomfortable with that, please don't feel like that we're making you do this. This is not by any means what we're trying to do. But I want the saints of God, if you're a visitor here today, you're welcome to join us. As a matter of fact, please join us. We want you to be a part of what we're doing. We want this to be your home. We're going to pray today, and I want men and women of this church to lay hands on these envelopes. It doesn't have to be your envelope, but they're spread out through here. I want you to just lay hands on them again to prophesy to the wind as Ezekiel did. The north, the south, the east, the west. Come on, somebody lay your hands on them. Lay your hands on the altar and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to see these things that are not as though they are. Come on, young ladies, that's it. Let's pray together. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to get into that place right now. I want you to praise your way through until you step into worship, until you step into the prophetic. But do you feel that bubbling up right now? Let that come out. Let that come out. Ooh. Miracle signs and wonders. God, you know what the people of this church wrote down. God, you know what they prophesied. They prophesied through their desire to see something happen in the spirit realm. God, there's a lot of these people in this church, God, they prophesied from their own personal place in Patmos. They prophesied from a place of exile. They prophesied from a place of loneliness. They prophesied, God, from a place of seemingly impossibilities. But God, you are the God of impossibilities. And I speak blessings. I speak miraculous right now in the name of Jesus. Loose it, God. 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 I'm telling you, something's happening in Birmingham, Alabama right now. Come on, something's happening in Alabama right now. It's bigger than just Birmingham. Come on, this prophetic word's gonna take over. It's gonna go out through the state. Yeah. Go ahead. You're there now. Come on, let that prophetic word come out of you. It may be coming out of you in a language that you don't understand, but let it come out. Come on, it may come out in a word, in a language you don't understand, but let it come out. What you don't realize is while you're prophesying and while you're speaking blessings over the house of God, God is mending the brokenness in your life. God is mending the brokenness in your home. Woo. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Come on, continue to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, Bishop. Come on, Bishop. Come on. Come on, I feel like you need to get up. Come on, Brother Collins. I need y'all on the platform with me right now. Make a way right here where Brother Collins and Brother Sutton can get up here on the platform. I want y'all to just lay hands on all these people right now. Come on, Brother Collins, would you? What's happening right here, and I know they can do it from back there, but what's happening right now is they're extending, and as they are, you hear me, what's happening in the Holy Ghost right now is there's an impartation of the prophetic coming from the bishop. There's an impartation of the prophetic coming from Brother Collins. Come on, God's imparting into you. It's flowing across the congregation right now.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, do you feel that? Come on, do you? It's all right, young man. Let those tears flow. Come on, young lady, let those tears flow. Let the Holy Ghost take you into the next level. Come on, press in, press in. I don't want anybody thinking about what's going to happen after church or where you're going. Come on, you need to be in this right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is working. You might miss your miracle if you're not paying attention. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here. Plug in, plug in, plug in, plug in, plug in, plug in. Come on, yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, do you feel that? Do you feel that? Do you feel that? That's walls coming down. That's fetters being destroyed. Woo! Come on, let it spring up out of you like a well of living water. It's happening right now. This is the prophetic transfer that's happening. Come on, the prophecies that were received 20 years ago to Bishop, they're being transferred. They're being transferred. They're being transferred. Come on, this is a special moment. This is a special moment. Don't rush through it. It's a special place. Is here.
The Holy Ghost is here. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Come on, there's a crossover some of you are taking right now. And you're not waiting on somebody to prophesy to your situation. You're going to prophesy it to it yourself. Come on, prophesy it to it yourself.
Everybody's praying. Everybody's talking in tongues. Somebody's about to be filled with the Holy Ghost right here. There are angels moving right now. There are chains that are falling down. Walls that are collapsing. Things are moving in the dynamic of the Spirit right now. Press in, press in. That's it, that's it, that's it. Let it flow from one to the other. Let it flow. You're a river of living water. You're an epicenter of the Spirit of God. You're a well springing up into everlasting life. It's flowing out of you. It's flowing into the city. It's flowing down your street. It's flowing into your neighborhood. Flowing into your job, your workplace. Yes, God. It's right, it's right, it's good, it's good. You're pressing through, you're pressing through. Work that, work that. Get your shoulder up under that, press that. Hallelujah. Press on, church. God's pouring out the Holy Ghost right now. Press on into that, church. God's responding to your prayer right now. Some of these things you put on this platform, they're happening already. They're happening already. That's the Holy Ghost. God's pouring out the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. God's pouring out the Holy Ghost. Little Grayson's down here talking in tongues this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to just reach over, lay your hand on somebody by you right now, and let's just let the Holy Ghost talk to you right now. I want you to just linger in His presence here. Let the Holy Ghost just talk. Somebody's going to get direction right now. Somebody's getting an answer right now. Kara, I want you to stand in for my wife right now. She's got some sickness going on in her body, and we just need God to heal her. Would you ladies lay your hands on her and pray for my wife?
pray healing and strength for her right now. If you're pressing in another area, just go right on. Press into that. Hey, we're about to go get baptized in the name of Jesus. We're about to go down in the water. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Hear the prayers of your people, oh God. Bring it forth, oh God. Hallelujah. Healing and strength and blessing and anointing. Doors being opened. Come on, this morning, if you believe God hears and answers prayer and that He's already begun to work on these things that we've offered before Him, I want you to begin to give Him thanks and praise Him right now and to magnify Him. Hallelujah. Oh, we believe You, Jesus. We long to see You work, to see You do what You love, oh God. Bring forth Your kingdom, O God. Bring forth Your will and Your purpose, O God. Do the thing that You love in this house, God, and in this people. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I don't know what the rest of the instructions are, but I'm inclined to gather these and put them in a box. Let's do it. And I'm not going to peek. We're going to wait maybe a year. And we're going to open it up and see what God's been up to. We're going to see what... See, you'll know. Now, here's the ticket, though. When it happens, you come up and you say, I want to let you know. God's already pulled the trigger on this one. When it happens, I want you to let the church know. It's already happening. God's already begun to do it. We want to hear the testimony when God answers these. Oh, we got one already. You had Grayson in your envelope. Grayson was in the envelope. Grayson got the Holy Ghost this morning. It's already happening. It's already happening. Somebody put, we want to see people get the Holy Ghost. We want to see people get baptized in Jesus' name. Well, there she comes. She's going to get baptized this morning in Jesus' name. Let's give God some uproarious praise right now. Let's bless His name and thank Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love and bless someone before you leave the house today. It's going to be a great day of family fellowship, and we're going to gather back here on Wednesday night. We're going to be walking in the middle of fulfilled prophecy. Come on back to the house expecting God to move.